I just wanted to share one passage from this book that was very, very important for me, and this will lead to one question, and then we'll see. In reality, everybody has visitors at each moment one sees, hears, smells, tastes, or experiences tangible objects such as rain. Usually when such visitors come, citta rooted in attachment arises and enjoys what appears through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, or the body space. There are different kinds of visitors. Nobody would like a wicked person as a visitor, but a dear relative or a friend is most welcome. In reality, the different objects that appear through the senses are only rupas. Rupa does not know anything, and therefore it cannot have any evil intention toward anybody. When would a visitor be an enemy, and when a dear relative or friend? Actually, when an object appears and one enjoys it and clings to it, there is an enemy, because enjoyment with clinging is akusala dhamma. Akusala dhamma is not a friend to anybody, whereas kusala dhamma is like a close relative who is ready to help one, eager to give assistance at all times. Therefore, we should know the difference between the characteristics of kusala citta and of akusala citta. That's the passage I really appreciated the other night, and I know that it's going to stay with me. Sometimes when you hear a teaching, you know this is going to stay. And this leads to a question that's a little bit of a different topic, but rupa is not a condition for foe or friend, because rupa does not know anything. And I just wanted to ask about the dukkha related to rupa and the dukkha related to nama. It seems that we are so attached to the body, and I may have read that the rupas related to the body are very treacherous, and we tend to rely on them, but they always turn against us. So I would just like to ask about dukkha related to rupa and dukkha related to nama.
Related to, or it is dukkha.
It is dukkha, yeah. And rupa and nama. The body is a concept, but it seems there are rupas that are associated with the body that always turn against us eventually in life.
Are you talking about just one rupa? Or many rupas? One rupa arises and falls away. So each rupa arises and falls away. No difference at all.
But is the body someone we try to rely on and get attached to, but again and again, lifetime after lifetime, it lets us down? And
when there's the idea of body, it's you, my body. So is the body you, or is the body just the collection of rupas?
In one sutta they call the five khandhas like the five types of snake, right? Ajahn, that
or the Mahabhuta rupa as the four snakes.
Oh, the Mahabhuta rupa are the four snakes, is that it? Yeah.
So can one say in summary, it's not that any one rupa is more treacherous than any other rupa, but because the rupas we take for the body we cling to, it's clinging to those ones that's more treacherous.
The rupa cannot experience anything at all. It doesn't intention to harm or to hurt anyone, but its nature is just arises and falls away.
And to be molested and to suffer change and to...
It arises and falls away. No matter where, in the body or out of the body.
So no different from nama.
Why does the Buddha talk about rupa as having the nature of wearing away, of being molested or something in the English? They talk about it in a general sense rather
without
than just...
Without it, can there be unpleasant feeling, the bodily unpleasant feeling?
No.
But it doesn't have intention to hurt anyone at all.
Right. Why do they talk about things like mountains and so on wearing away and talk about impermanence in a very general sense sometimes?
Because that's what we can see,
what
or understand.
What's obvious to anyone.
In Thai language, we have a proverb like, just one strand of hair can hide the whole mountain.
How does it do that?
Because now even a moment of experiencing an object hides the amount of the collection of akusala and all kinds of elements, nama and rupa, which arose and fallen away instantly, all the time. This is before studying the teachings, but after the teaching of the Buddha, the range of mountain hide just one single reality. Because we see the tree and the scenery, so what about that which arises and forms up such idea as things around us? For example, now there is the idea of mountain things around oneself, so it hides the arising of a reality at a time.
The concepts are obscuring the reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the hair represents a single reality in this, in the problem.
It depends on how we can understand that before studying and after studying.
Yeah. The tree in the forest.
Because we think that the akusala is so very little, but actually lots of them as anusya, ready to condition more and more moments of akusala. So it's just the simile that it depends on the understanding, no matter how you can understand that.
Can you explain again, John, how the concept hides the reality?
Now, Kun An is sitting here.
Mm.
What about the visible object, which is seen,
mm-hmm.
and falls away instantly? All the time, succeedingly.
Yes. The concept doesn't prevent the arising of the understanding of the present reality.
The nature of the arising and falling away mm-hmm. is hidden by the idea of something stay permanently.
The idea of what?
Something stay permanently. Now,
okay.
The table things.
You're basically saying the understanding of the reality is hidden by wrong understanding or ignorance.
Just reality itself. Because of the succession of the arising and falling away of realities, no one can understand a reality which is conditioned to arise and fall away instantly, all the time.
But it can be understood.
Certainly,
by understanding.
Little by little.
Little by little.
So the development of understanding is the only way to eradicate the unwholesomeness permanently and absolutely. Otherwise, one keep on thinking about sila, like death will come, so what about sila? But actually, who knows when will death come? So the most important thing is to understand reality right now.
Yesterday you said to me several times, not enough, like,
right.
And I, that will stay
right.
with me. Yeah,
because at moment of being aware and developing the understanding of reality, it is the highest sila, not just the abstention from ill deeds only, temporarily too, but this is the way to eradicate absolutely. We do not have to think of the time, oh, I'll have sila or abstaining from such and such temporarily. But it is the absolute abstaining from your deeds with right understanding.
I worried too much about attachment to the deep teachings,
uh-huh.
so that was keeping me from saying not enough just to have sila. We have to understand reality.
And it indicates so much clinging to the I or me instead of understanding reality right now as just a moment of experiencing what is seen and what is heard, what is thought about. So it's just now, the more one can understand that reality is now representing itself for understanding, for ignorance and attachment.
Ajahn, Ann and I were discussing last night about nimitta as a result of the discussion yesterday. Evening, and we wonder if you could begin by maybe saying a little bit more about nimitta, because that seems to tie in with what you just said about, like, the concept of and
everyone here in the room hides the reality of visible object. Now, is it because to say an is to use the concept of nimitta, or is it different? Could you speak a little bit about that? Thank you.
If there is no reality at all, can there be nimitta?
No, it must be there.
So there must be the absolute realities, the four Paramattha Dhammas, right? And we talked just about the three, which are the conditioned realities that arise every day. So now at this moment, what is seen, no one can think about that which can be seen only as just a reality. Because one takes that which is seen for something permanent. This is because each reality arises and falls away so very rapidly that no one can touch on each one when it arises and falls away. So what is left is only the nimitta, the sign of realities. For example now, it's the sign of the arising and falling away of visible object. And at moment of hearing, it's the sign of the arising and falling away of sound. It's not just that very short one which arises and passes away in split seconds. Now it seems like there is hearing sound, but that sound, even we think that it's very short, but actually it's the sign of sound as the sign of visible object, the sign of everything, even the sign of feeling. What kind of feeling is now? If it's upekkha or indifferent feeling, it's not just that shortest one, but it's the sign of the arising and falling away of that particular feeling. So this is the meaning of nimitta. No matter no one knows or not, it has to be like this. And so whenever there is the understanding or taking that nimitta for something, that is concept. Without nimitta, there is no concept. So there is concept by taking that nimitta for something. And can an animal know concept?
Yes.
Yes. Because no matter who, the Paramattha Dhamma goes on like this. No matter in heaven, here, or in the forest, the arising and falling away is so fast like this, and so there must be concept whenever there is some idea about it. But the animal cannot have so great understanding of the difference between the sound as different languages, and even this one language like Pali term, who can understand that perfectly without considering carefully about even the word Dhamma or nimitta. So all these things for studying, for Pandya to develop, to understand the nature of all Paramattha Dhamma, not the whole like the body, because everyone takes the collection of the rupa as body. This is also body, this is also body. This is the body of me or human being. Mm-hmm. And when there is the thinking about the nimitta and this concept of it, it's the moment of taking it, not wrong view yet, because it's so common.
What is it when it's just taken it as?
Concept. Buddha, still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, concept. Everyone has concept.
The mind naturally makes concepts, but doesn't have to be wrong view.
No. That's why all the vipalasa must arise with akusala only.
Please say that again.
When there is no akusala, no vipalasa. So all vipalasa arise with akusala.
Adan, if nimitta is a sign of physical object, does that mean that it is only possible for awareness to be aware of concept at that moment?
Usually we think about awareness instead of right understanding. So many people just cling to have it instead of understanding it. But the most important thing is not the awareness, but it's the understanding. Because whenever there is the understanding, there is awareness. You don't have to seek or try to have it at all. It's there. But when there is only awareness without understanding, it is kusala without panya. So instead of thinking about whether there is awareness or not, at moment of understanding, there must be awareness at different levels. For example, intellectual understanding is right understanding at level of understanding the story about realities. At that moment, there is awareness. So it's the development of right understanding together with awareness. But most people concentrate on awareness and try so much to have it. What for? Without understanding. So thinking about going to the forest or to the secluded place, at that moment, right understanding is not enough to understand that. The way to eradicate the akusala must be that which can understand reality right now or right then, any time, any place, and anywhere. Very naturally, because no one can condition anything. No one can condition seeing now, as no one can condition thinking now. No one can condition sati and panya. So it's just the development of understanding only. The most important thing while one thinking about death, understanding reality which appears, because there must be sila, samadhi and panya right then together. And it's the finer sila too, higher sila, because it's not just abstaining from ill deeds intentionally, but it's by conditions to know that it's not self at all.
So to think about what is seeing, like we are discussing now, as nimitta, that is a condition for awareness at some time to arise.
What about the understanding?
Well, to think about that this is...
To think about or to understand that what appears now is nimitta of everything.
Think with understanding,
yeah.
Like as you were saying.
So it's the way to see or understand the distinction between thinking and seeing. Mm-hmm. Because Buddha taught about the six doorways, the seeing and the visible object. And we go across suddenly, ignoring the nature of that which is now appearing as just an absolute reality. No one in it, because that is a reality which can be seen. So by hearing more and more, there can be the understanding of visible object as it is, as just a moment. So when there is no clinging to that, there can be awareness of other object instantly. But while one is trying very hard to understand it, there is no condition to understand other reality. So it's a hindrance too. It's lopa all the way. It depends. Only panya can tell. For example now, it seems like when we heard about the body, not self, it seems like there is no attachment or wrong view to it at all. But who can know whether that's true or not without direct awareness and understanding of a reality only, which appears at that very moment? So by studying the realities, it's not just speculate that it's this or that, but it's the right understanding of that which really appears as it is. For example, we talk about wrong view, that which takes reality for I or self. Does it arise now? Does it appear now? No. Because seeing, hearing, and thinking about the story of realities. But whenever there is direct awareness, for example, hardness, there is no world appearing. Everything is gone completely. Right? And at that moment, there is hardness. But what about the idea that it's me? Here, it's hard, and it's still me. So at that moment, wrong view shows up to understand that there is still clinging to even hardness as I or me. By understanding this, one knows that whenever it arises and it is the object of awareness, only then that Panya can see reality as it is. No name for it, but there's clinging with the idea of me, hardness is me, like now or before, when there's no understanding about the rupa, which is hard. There is the subtlety of taking it for it's me, like many people think about sitting position. The body is sitting. It seems like they do not cling to the sitting position because they try to understand or to know that it's not self. But no reality appears to Panya to see that it's not self, because the understanding of no self must be at the very moment of a reality appearing, just one at a time. How can there be self of hardness then? Because it's only hardness. How can be self who hears? Because it's only hearing and then completely gone. So everything is conditioned to appear so very, very little at a time. So it depends on whether there's clinging or not, or taking it for self or not, or the idea of something stay or not. And then we can understand the meaning of wrong view, which does not always arise right now. So Dhamma is not just for discussion only about the terms and the story of realities, but it will lead to more understanding of a reality at a time. So no place for meditation at all. No meditation center. Because it's the development from this moment to develop direct awareness of a reality when time comes, when Panya is ready to understand that. So the Satyayana, the first round of the four Ariya Satya, must be the very firmly well-established foundation of understanding that what appears now is that which can be known. The past is gone, the fusion has come yet. So how can Panya know the past and the fusion which hasn't come and which is gone? Only this now that can be object of development of understanding. So when there's come or before death or thinking about death, it's to know that this is that which can be object of understanding in one's life. So the more there is the hearing of the teachings, like the Buddha's teachings, or his disciples followed him to listen. Even they had practiced a lot or developed understanding a lot, but still they need to hear at that very moment to condition right understanding better and deeper. Because it's not easy to really get rid of attachment and wrong view. And wrong view should be eradicated before other akusala dhamma. Many people thinking of getting rid of attachment, but actually what about wrong understanding? It's the root, like avicca, lopa, titi, mana. So just listen and develop understanding, and knowing that reality appears all the time, no one can escape the arising and falling away of realities at all, even right now. So no time to waste to think about I do. It's only thinking moment.
Last night we were talking before bed, and Sukim was saying, I think, well, Phil, here you're thinking about trying to stop doing bad deeds and things like that. I forget exactly what you said, but I said at that moment, I just said, well, accumulations, there's no self doing that. So I think sometimes even my friends like Suping or Sarah will talk and create stories about people and what people tend to do or people's tendencies, but we can understand it's the story and there's no self and accumulations. Yeah.
It's useful because without it there can never be the understanding of reality right now. But one should know the purpose of studying, not just to follow the words, and it's trapped with the attachment to know more about the story. But whatever will lead to understand reality right now is the most important thing. That's why Buddha always said about the six doorways, no matter when, because they're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. So now, there are the absolute realities and the nimittas of them and the concept.
I had trouble before believing or understanding that listening to Dhamma is by itself kusala. And I don't know, just the last couple of days I've started to understand or just sense that listening is kusala.
Because as one is not the enlightened one, the Buddha, we need the words from him.
I mean, without listening, actually, not the listening and the thinking about it.
Sure. With the understanding.
With understanding, yeah.
Can be a condition, thinking with understanding. It isn't always a condition for thinking with understanding.
Maybe we explore that a little bit and place thinking and thinking with understanding. Can you speak about that?
Okay. Understanding things.
Understanding things so
or attachment things or aversion things. Because aversion cannot see.
So when understanding things, it's a different kind of thinking to
right thinking.
It's right thinking. That is okay, that's
it is right thinking?
It is, because it's right understanding.
Yes.
It cannot think wrongly.
Yes, but that's very important. Thank you.
Because you see that we separate the terms, but actually what things? Attachment things? While one is thinking that I'm thinking with attachment, but actually it's the attachment which thinks.
The attachment which thinks. Could you say something about that?
Okay. The citta is that which is the faculty of experiencing an object. So it's not cetasika at all. And each cetasika has its own characteristic and function. So at moment of thinking, what experiences the thought? The citta, but without cetasikas, which experience the same object, how can there be moment of thinking? So at that very moment, what is there?
Attachment
or understanding?
The
yeah.